Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Todd Benson, and you're listening to CoachCast. Today, I'm thrilled to be speaking with Jeff Watson, the CEO of NCFDD, as we discuss redefining mentorship in higher education.
There are so many headwinds that are facing the whole ecosystem, and that includes unprecedented uncertainty, and all of that falls on the shoulders of faculty. What we're hearing from faculty in all types of institutions at all different points of their career is exactly what the data shows, which is mentoring is incredibly important, but the effectiveness of mentoring is not quite there. There is so much time that is spent on finding and recruiting the best faculty for a department or an institution. And then once they're there, I think her point is that investment shouldn't stop when they get through the doors of the institution.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to CoachCast, brought to you by the Collaborative on Academic Careers in Higher Education, or Coach for short. A research practice partnership based at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. Each episode, we're going to be joined by guests from across the higher education sector as we explore the faculty experience and leadership in higher ed. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Todd Benson, the Executive Director and Principal Investigator at Coach. I'm delighted to welcome Jeff Watson, the CEO of NCFDD, an organization that partners with colleges and universities to provide professional development and training resources. Earlier this year, Coach was invited by NCFDD to collaborate on what ultimately became the white paper, Redefining Mentoring in Higher Education. We were thrilled to take part in this initiative as it aligned with one of our long-standing goals to produce high-quality, data-informed work in partnership with like-minded organizations committed to improving the faculty experience. Redefining Mentoring was published in April and it's now available to download. Today, we're going to continue the conversation about mentoring and how leaders can prioritize it to support their faculty. Jeff, it's great to have you here. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
Jeff, for listeners unfamiliar with you or NCFDD, could you tell us a bit about your background and share the mission of NCFDD?
I came on board at NCFDD as CEO about 9 months ago, and I've really spent the better part of my career in education, innovation, and building mission-oriented organizations. And what really attracted me to NCFDD in the first place is actually the mission of the organization, which is really about helping faculty navigate their lives in academia, both personally and professionally. And I think that core mission is more important now than it's ever been.
Absolutely. So tell us, why should institutions prioritize and invest in mentoring now more than ever? And why does it matter and why should they care?
I have been amazed at the response to the white paper that we developed together, NCFDD and Coach. And right now, I think there have been almost 3,000 people, faculty and academic leaders who have downloaded the paper. And we're getting incredible feedback. I think it's really resonating. And the reason why is when you zoom back and think about what is going on in higher education right now, there are so many headwinds that are facing the whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
And that includes unprecedented uncertainty around research funding, a demographic cliff that will lower enrollment for a lot of institutions. There's a well-reported student mental health crisis that's growing. There's a need to address generative AI in the classroom and in faculty's jobs. And then there's continued social and political unrest. And all of that falls on the shoulders of faculty.
Absolutely.
And I think universities and colleges are fond of saying faculty are the heartbeat of the institution and they're the core of what we do. And the reality is that there is more and more being put on faculty. So faculty also need more support and they need more mentorship. And that's really why, to answer your question, why mentorship in this topic is so critical right now in our view.
It's interesting that you mentioned kind of the circumstances of faculty's lives and careers have changed, but even our data support that. We did some historical trend data looking at faculty responses to the importance of mentoring over time. And when we look at the data from 2010 and 11, and even before that, when we were only surveying junior faculty, the actual importance of mentoring, or at least the number of faculty who rate mentoring as being important, has grown over time. And the other piece I think that was really interesting is that when we looked at the data across appointment types, we found that it wasn't just junior faculty. It wasn't just those folks right on the tenure track trying to get through those first few years. It was faculty across appointment types and career stages and demographic characteristics, all saying, I need the kind of support that good mentors can provide.
What we're hearing from faculty in all types of institutions at all different points of their career is exactly what the data shows, which is mentoring is incredibly important, but the effectiveness of mentoring is not quite there. And that's what we call in the white paper, the effectiveness gap.
Yeah,
is a very real thing. And that's part of what we're trying to do here is spark a conversation in higher ed to try to close that gap.
Let's talk about the mentoring framework that NCFDD has put together. I'd love to hear about how institutions can apply these best practices to the work that they do to support and develop their faculty.
If you step back and you think about the history of mentoring in academia, really the mentoring model came about mostly for tenure track faculty. And that model has persisted for many, many decades. And really the idea is there is a senior faculty member who's well established in their field, who's a guru, as we would call it, right? That guru model is where you have a faculty member in biology or chemistry or anthropology or whatever their discipline happens to be. And the idea is that senior faculty member is going to impart their wisdom and brilliance to junior faculty members. And there's some real power to that. But I think the model that NCFDD has been working on with institutions over the last 15 years or so is really more of a differentiated mentoring model, where the assumption is not that there is this single guru who can really serve all of faculty members' needs, whether those needs relate to research or teaching, or they relate to emotional support that faculty members need. It's really about a needs-based model where there are different types of mentors depending on the faculty member's particular need.
That's a combination of a few factors. It is definitely a changing landscape. There's changing expectations for faculty. There's changing demands on their work. But also the composition of the faculty are changing too. We have a more diverse professoriate than we had two or three decades ago. And they come with different needs and different experiences. And I think one of the things that I really like about the NCFDD model is that if mentoring is in some ways about listening, then setting up a good mentoring structure for your faculty requires you to listen in advance. You need to listen to what it is that they need in terms of support and engagement before you can even put them in that kind of relationship.
Yeah, that's totally right. And I think that old school mentoring model, the guru model, is by definition very one-directional. It's really the mentor imparting wisdom to the mentee. True mentorship, and in the current modern sense, is really bi-directional.
Yep.
So much of it is about listening, as you said, the mentor really understanding the needs of the faculty member. The other part of it is the types of faculty in higher ed have really diversified as well. It's not just tenure track, it's non-tenure track, it's clinical faculty, teaching faculty, adjunct faculty. So when you look at all of these different types of faculty members, they enter into academia in different ways. They have different needs. And there really isn't a one-size-all mentoring model that could possibly work for all of those different faculty types.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So let's talk a little bit about the data. Coach data shows that faculty are more likely to find mentoring outside of their institutions to be effective. About 74% of faculty tell us that. This data point is very telling. It reveals gaps in internal mentoring, but can also be an opportunity. What are your thoughts about this data point and the importance of external mentoring?
The data point is really interesting. I think it says a couple things. One is, it's partially a reflection of the challenges with internal mentoring, either within your department where things like competition between faculty can get complicated. Power dynamics can come into those mentoring relationships. And then you look at things like mentoring within the institution, but outside of the department. Those are really important relationships. But a lot of times you're looking for a mentor who is in your discipline or maybe at your particular career stage. And depending on what that discipline is, particularly for more niche areas of academia, you're not going to find somebody in your institution who has really walked in your shoes, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of things that make the internal mentoring experience complicated and challenging.
Yeah.
The other thing that data point points to is that external mentoring is really important outside of your institution.
One of the things I would add is that while it's really important, it's difficult to build those sorts of relationships. It just requires an extra level of effort from the individual seeking out the mentorship, from the mentor themselves, and in whatever ways the institution can provide those sorts of supports. You need to be more intentional, I think, in order to create those sorts of relationships. I hope that institutions think about that and just realize that while internal mentoring from within the institution can be incredibly important, it doesn't mean that it can ever necessarily replace the kind of mentoring that faculty might get from outside the university.
We have a tool at NCFDD. It's called the Mentor Map, and it is what you might expect it to be from the name. It's really a way of mapping a web of mentoring relationships. And depending on your need, whether it's related to research or it's teaching or it's accountability, you really develop a more holistic approach through that mentor map. One of the things that NCFDD has been doing for 15 years now is called the Faculty Success Program.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a really unique external mentoring model where there are five faculty members from different institutions and a faculty coach. And they're going through an NCFDD kind of core curriculum around navigating your life in academia. But what they're really getting in the power of that experience, and we've had 15,000 faculty go through this, is really about the peer mentoring you get and then the near peer mentoring from that faculty coach. Sometimes, as you said, it's really hard for the university to set up those external relationships because they're having enough challenges creating an internal mentoring environment, right?
Yeah. It's laborious. The other thing I just want to mention about that mentoring map is giving faculty a tool like that also increases their sense of agency over their own career progression. It's saying to those faculty, you're the only one that really understands what you're going through. So what we're going to do is give you a framework or a template that allows you to be introspective and then advocate for yourself, whether it be to the institution or reaching out to that senior scholar at another university. That's empowering for faculty. And I just think that MAP as a tool can really help encourage and cultivate the sort of faculty who feel empowered to really manage their own career progression.
Yeah, that's a great insight. And we obviously fully agree with that.
So when we were working on the paper, Dr. Pearl Dow from Emory University observed the strategic gap in universities where faculty recruitment is prioritized over sustained investment in faculty development. How can universities not fall into this trap?
Dr. Dow really points to an interesting phenomenon, which is there is so much time that is spent on finding and recruiting the best faculty for a department or an institution. And then once they're there, I think her point is that investment shouldn't stop when they get through the doors of the institution, so to speak. And a lot of times, though, mentoring is not being prioritized. We did a sampling of about 30 strategic plans from different universities, and we only saw about five of them that had any mention of mentoring at all.
Wow.
When you read those strategic plans, there's oftentimes good language about supporting faculty, the importance of faculty, but then it really comes down to What are you actually doing, right? For example, are you programatizing mentoring to really create something that's repeatable, that works for you to track over time? Are you making space for mentoring for faculty? And I think this is a big part of what Dr. Dow is getting at, is the importance of the experience once faculty have actually been recruited.
We talk a lot about that in the faculty retention and exit study. We see data points that suggest that a lot of the things that we did to bring faculty to the table to consider joining the institution are really best practices for faculty retention, and thinking about what it is that got them to the table and making sure that we keep the promises that we made to those faculty when we said, please come here and let us help you grow your career. I just think that the more we can think about those promises that we make and find ways to uphold them, we're going to be better off. The other thing I want to mention too, and again, this is a coach data point, one of my favorite questions in the mentoring section, by the way, you can tell I'm a survey geek because I have favorite questions, but we ask, does your institution provide faculty with the support to be good mentors? I think that's another piece of institutionalizing that we don't talk about enough. It's not just getting a mentor and a mentee in the room together. It's, do they have the training and the support? Do they have the time and the bandwidth? Is it rewarded in all these processes like promotion and tenure? All of those components allow mentors to be better at that role. And if we don't institutionalize them, then, you know, we just count on good fortune and really kind people who are willing to put in extra effort.
Yeah, I agree with that, Todd. You had mentioned the relationship between retention and mentoring. And there's a major cost of losing a faculty member. We've seen data that, it, depending on the type of faculty member, it could be hundreds of thousands of dollars that the institution has invested in not only recruiting them, but then supporting them at the institution. So there's a huge cost, but there's also sort of non-financial costs to a faculty member leaving. And that is things like the impact on faculty culture, as an example. Yeah. We talk about at NCFTD creating cultures around faculty success. And mentoring can be one of the most strategic tools to achieve that type of culture and experience. Institutions like Emory really see it and they get it. Yeah. And they've created programs and structures to support mentoring. And they're using the coach data to measure the impact of those programs. Those are really the types of best practices that both our organizations would advocate for.
Absolutely. In her recent Chronicle of Higher Ed opinion piece, Dr. Maria LaMonica Wisdom argues that today's faculty mentees have diverse needs and aspirations, and that those often don't align with the paths of their advisors. This mismatch of expectations is a hard thing to overcome. Unpack that for us. What advice would you give to close those gaps?
I think there's a parallel with the challenge that faculty are having resonating with today's modern students. Mm-hmm. And it's becoming a bigger and bigger problem. Student engagement is down across the board, and faculty are really having a tough time just connecting in that way.
Yeah.
The same thing is happening in the mentoring space between senior faculty and more junior faculty. Junior faculty have different learning preferences, just like modern students do. They come in with different cultural and social influences as they've come up the ranks.
Yeah.
And those things all contribute to this kind of gap that Dr. Wisdom, which is a great name, by the way,
yes,
the gap that she's identifying. And some of it goes back to the idea that the guru model doesn't really work. This one-directional model with the idea that mentors can be everything for every mentee. And that doesn't really connect with the fact that new faculty have very diverse career aspirations. They come into academia for different reasons. And that really requires a more personalized form of guidance than the traditional model offers.
I could envision starting to ask a question that focuses on that reciprocity in relationships between mentors and mentees, which is asking people who serve as mentors, how are you growing because of this relationship? And hadn't really thought about it that way until you framed it the way you just did.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting way of getting at the needs-based aspect of mentoring. Mentoring is for the mentee. It's not for the mentor, right? And I think part of the old model reverses that in a way that's not as relevant anymore.
Jeff, one of the interesting data points that we pull out in the report is about the importance of mentoring as it affects the day-to-day lives of faculty. In fact, we found that 59% of those faculty who find mentoring to be effective felt that they could balance teaching, research, and service demands of their positions, compared with only 37% of those faculty who reported that their mentoring was ineffective. Do you have any thoughts about how to unpack that?
Yeah, it's a great data point, Todd. And I think it speaks to the power of mentoring and its ability to impact all these different dimensions of a faculty member's life. In the case of the data point that you're highlighting here, it's really impacting the way they balance all of their responsibilities, teaching, research, and service. And it also connects to higher level institutional objectives. I know those who report effective mentoring also tend to feel more satisfied with their departments and institutions, and they also understand promotion and tenure processes and pathways. So just from getting mentoring right, there are all of these positive effects for both the individual faculty members and for the institutions at large.
So it's obvious from our conversation and the data that mentoring is an important strategic lever that most institutions could utilize more effectively to reach their full potential. What can a university or college do to start on this journey of taking mentoring to the next level?
I would say there are three things that we would advise any institution to do, either rethinking their current approach to mentoring or starting a new approach. One is you have to prioritize it. So it has to have support at the highest levels of the institution and say mentoring is actually a big priority for the academic success of the institution.
Yep.
And for faculty's success. If we really believe that faculty are the heart of the institution, then that should be something that is actually relatively easy to do. So that's number one, is prioritize it. The second thing is put together a roadmap. One part of that is, how do faculty grow their mentoring networks? And can we provide them tools for doing that both inside and outside the institution? And the second is something you had mentioned earlier, Todd, which is then training faculty to actually be better mentors. We take it for granted that mentoring is something that comes naturally to people, but it's actually a skill like anything else that can be trained and developed. So I think those are parts of the roadmap. And then the last thing I would say, the third piece, is begin to measure it. Begin to measure the impact. Because I think what we have seen in the data that Coach provided is that there are so many benefits to mentoring for faculty that go beyond just the individual mentoring relationship.
Yeah.
There is also benefits to when you have effective mentoring programs. There are benefits to the perception of the institution from the faculty members. There are benefits to understanding the promotion process and things like tenure. So there are many, many other knock-on positive effects of getting mentoring right.
It's really critical at this point to be thinking as expansively as possible about the supports that we can provide faculty. You said right in the beginning, we're in a time of great disruption. The industry is having to rethink itself. And the more that we can be creative in terms of the resources, support, and solutions we can provide to faculty, the better off we're going to be. Just as a little tangent here, I think that this partnership between Coach and NCFDD is a model of us, higher ed adjacent organizations. We're not colleges, we're not universities. We're organizations that support colleges and universities. And just this partnership, to me, is an example of our organizations trying to think differently about how we support colleges and universities.
Yeah.
And That's why I look forward to continuing to see how we might be able to partner in the future and hopefully to find some other folks to work with like this.
Yeah, both organizations share a common mission, which is how do we elevate the support for faculty broadly? The white paper is a really great example of bringing together all the insight and data that Coach has longitudinally from over a long period of time, and a lot of the best practices in mentoring that NCFTD has developed over the last 15 years. So we're excited. The last two things I would say in terms of what institutions can do are read the white paper, be a part of the conversation, contact either NCFTD or Coach if
or
you
both.
Want to learn, or both. We'd love to talk to you together. And then the second thing is we're actually having a webinar around how you rethink faculty mentoring and what institutions can do differently. And that webinar is on June 24th at 1 p.m. Eastern. And whenever this podcast comes out, there will be a recording of that webinar if you don't catch it live.
Absolutely. We'll be sharing that out with all of our partners as well. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks so much for joining us, and be sure to check out the show notes for the full white paper, transcript, and any links to resources that we mentioned today. Jeff, thank you again for joining me today on CoachCast and sharing your experiences and insights with us.
Thank you, Todd. It was a real pleasure.
Make sure to tune in for our next episode, listen wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to subscribe. I'm Dr. Todd Benson, and I'll see you next time.